Morning, everyone. We are live in the Fendrian team car. Someone's asked what that is. It's a Fiat 500. But we are live and hands-free in the Fendrian Cast team car. Thank you very much for joining us for show number 90 in the series so far. For anyone who's been with us since the first, well done for sticking with it. I fear that I might be the only one who is, but you never know. So the show this week is we've looked back and found the gap in the calendar. We said before Christmas we would do a brief review of the 1 week tours of last season, which will have to be quite brief because the 1 week tours of this season are pretty much on the cusp of starting with the Tour Down Under. So we'll get into that. Firstly, just want to do a quick plug and a quick thanks to Godfrey Bikewear, who gave us some long-term kit to test last year, and we tested jersey, race cut shorts. We did them in the Tour of Cambridgeshire Gran Fondo, so we gave them quite a thorough test, because we also then took them to Flanders and tested the pad of the bib shorts on the Muir of Gerardsbergen, the Koppenberg, the Oude Quaremont, Eikenberg, and so on, Padestrata, all of those. So this year they have a new range out, which is windproof, waterproof jerseys, and kind of taking that material that has become pretty much in vogue in cycling wear for recent years, they've taken that a stage further and given a neck warmer. I don't think you can't say the rival brand name, can you? Rhymes with Duff, which is a fantastic bit of kit. So they're on long-term tests with us again for the year. Certainly the wind and rain jacket got a good airing for 70 odd k's in the fens yesterday. The wind wasn't blowing too much, but it was still, I think the average temperature for my ride according to my windsock was 1 degree. Brilliant, isn't it? So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on the site for as we review. And our new kit looks brilliant. We've had silver for a couple of years based on the principle that the silver kit reflects the big silvery grey skies of the fens. We've incorporated that into the hoops on the jersey, along with the Huntingdonshire flag of gold and green, and then got quite a nice striking bright reddish colour. So yeah, it looks good. I'm really pleased with it. But the freezing cold is not pleasant, and obviously most riders are now thinking about warmer, sunnier times and warmer, sunnier climates. And we have the Tour Down Under 2018 that's going on, but we also said we'd have a brief look back at some of the 1 week stage races of last year. A lot of the early season ones, which will be coming round in the next 4 or 5 weeks, were kind of won by Alejandro Valverde, and fingers crossed we will be at, hopefully, one stage of the Tour of Catalunya this March, so stand by for that. The Catalunya and Paris-Nice are probably the big two of the season. Both were fairly exciting and interesting in their own way. Catalunya, for me, because I've ridden quite a lot of the roads, is always one that you've got the beautiful coastal roads sweeping in towards Girona, and then you've got some of the big climbs around there, Santa Pelalia and El Angel, and some lovely sort of coastal scenery as well in the first stage, which is usually Calella to Calella. It's always quite nice as well to see them a deserted Lloret de Mar as the peloton zoom through, only a few weeks away from being invaded by British people in tight-fitting pants. So Catalunya, always a good one. Paris-Nice is usually shapes up for the final day to be a shakeout. Today was no different, or today, last year was no different. Sergio are now pushing on, but getting dropped on the final stage, and in kind of like a replica of the year before when it was Alberto Contador versus Team Sky, but Geraint Thomas was the man trying to defend the lead. This time Hénin and an amazing pursuit back into Nice, which resulted in Contador only just missing out on the win that probably would have maybe triggered a different set of results in his last season. You never know, bit of confidence. Although he was never short of that, I suppose, was he, as a rider? So those two pretty decent. You kind of roll into sort of Tirreno Adriatico, which has been used as a warm-up for Milan-San Remo quite a lot of the time. More sprinters seem to have migrated there than Paris-Nice in recent times. And you then kind of get into your Romandies, Tour of Switzerland, and the Dauphiné. They're kind of key ones that add as build-ups for other events, really. But the week-long stage race does have its place in the calendar. There's not that many that kind of grab the attention post-Tour de France. You've got maybe the Tour of Poland, much as we like to cherish it, the Tour of Britain, which was kind of decided. People were hoping maybe that some of the tougher stages early on in the race would decide it, but it kind of kept together and came down to the time trial. I'm not sure what else the organisers could do. The topography is perfect, but you know, it's about the riders who make the race, I suppose, isn't it? So there were some decent ones, and we'll try and be a bit more, even more, let's say, diligent in our coverage of those events as we go through this year, and try and keep you abreast a bit more with what's happening on those, and a bit more context as well, because you know, you can go on the internet and find the results and pretty much what happened. It's a bit more about, you know, experiences and what happens and stuff like that. They're the kind of things that we're looking for. And of course, you know, the finish of the Eneco Tour this year, we'll be able to describe it in even greater detail. Well, it won't be called the Eneco Tour, it'll be the Bink Bank Tour again, won't it? But we'll be able to describe that in a bit more detail, having had our legs pretty much snap as we were going up the final climb of the race, the Muir, which is a corker, shall we say. So yeah, the season has started in earnest, and well, not in earnest, in Australia, and it's having spent all of my time picking my fantasy team for the Tour Down Under and the precursor to that, the People's Choice Classic Criterium. We've pretty much said Caleb Ewan for the sprints, Richie Port for the hills, and that's pretty much, I don't think that's a revolutionary set of tips or a revolutionary tactic on anyone's part. That's fairly likely to be the outcome. Although there has been that slight spanner thrown into the works, should we say, with the performance of Peter Sagan, who won the People's Choice Classic sprinting to victory after a breakaway was reeled in late on that had Zach Dempster in it. So Sagan in good form early on. It's the second, third week of January. There will inevitably be people who are saying he won't be ready for Flanders. Maybe he's targeting Milan-San Remo. Maybe he can hold this form for a couple of months and give it the beans in that one. Who knows? With Sagan, you can never tell. But the theory might be that he's going to struggle to hold his form all the way through to, you know, Roubaix, which is kind of mid to end April. So we shall see, but it's going to be a fascinating race. I feel there's always a little bit of shadow boxing. There's always someone that comes out of left field who you don't expect to do okay, but that does okay. And there's always a talking point. So fingers crossed, we will be able to see some decent racing. That's the first thing. The depressing views of the Australian countryside looking perfect at this time of year, while you can hear the rain still bashing off the team car window. No TV coverage this year. It had been on Sky for a while with that irritating Feel the Rush music that I don't think anyone was a particular fan of. That's gone. In favour, really, of the Velon app and Velon website. The bike channel ceased to be in existence in the UK, certainly. It's on bike channel. The Italian bike channel survives. So I have downloaded the Velon app. I've watched a bit of the People's Choice Classic commentary. It wasn't a stream. It was more, if anyone, like when you sort of sat down in the summer and you can't get to watch the Tour de France and you have the ticker going on your computer or whatever, it's that kind of footage. Let's see how it goes. You know, it might be that it's finally a use for Velon other than GoPro footage, which has been the criticism levelled at that particular organisation for quite some time. So yeah, Tour Down Under starts in earnest tomorrow. We will be here next week, back on our Monday morning slot to give you the lowdown, the feedback, and hopefully a review of a pretty decent race, even though we might not have seen that much of it, if that makes sense. Right, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for getting to 90 with us. Thank you for the positive feedback on podcast 89, which was the review of the 89 Tour de France. I'm really pleased with that. So thank you very much. Keep listening. And we will speak to you again at the same time next week.